However you choose to present them, they will change your life. I wrote my first affirmations in mid-2003, and they all came true within a couple of years. It's spooky how it happened. At the time, they were outside the realm of possibility, but my subconscious helped me make them a reality. I urge you, please don't write these off as silly. They work. The following are some examples of affirmations you can use. However, please be sure to make yours meaningful to you. I am a leader. I am interesting. I am a success in all that I do. I can attract any woman I want. I know my purpose. I am confident in who I am. I am cool, calm, and collected. I am charismatic. My world and my life are attractive and interesting. People meet me and want to know me. I am interested in other people. I meet fun, positive people. Putting yourself in the zone. How you act is not determined by just your beliefs. It's also impacted by your state, or your feelings of resourcefulness and power. Have you ever been in the zone? Maybe it was at your job, or it might have been with women. Regardless of the specific situation, you felt like you could do anything you wanted and it would just work. That's what being in state, or in the zone, is all about. When you're out of state, out of the zone, you struggle to do the things that you can easily do when you're empowered. When I was improving my life with women, being out of state really frustrated me. To counter that frustration, I developed a technique for rapidly putting myself in the zone. That is, triggering that frame of mind where I feel like I can conquer the world. Here's how to do it. Got your affirmations from before? Great. Now pick out a handful of songs that have extremely positive associations for you. Songs that really get you going. Start playing those songs loudly and really get into them, allowing yourself to experience a strong, positive emotional state. Then, once you've got that positive emotion coursing through your body, begin definitively saying your affirmations. At the same time, snap your fingers and get your body moving to generate some energy. After you've repeated this little ritual 5 to 7 times, the music, the affirmations, and the emotions will all begin to associate with one another. Then, when you want to feel confident and in the zone, all you need to do is say an affirmation or two, snap your fingers, or listen to one of the songs you chose for your state-building exercise, and voila, you're there. When you're in state, in the zone, you feel confident, you feel attractive, you feel like the most powerful person in the room. This deep emotional conviction will radiate, and other people will feel your power. The men will follow your lead. The women will become attracted to you. These two exercises should put you on the path toward mastering your beliefs and your state. When you couple them with the actual approaching you will be doing after you learn the seduction techniques in the latter part of the book, you will begin to experience rapid and dramatic changes. State Control Toolkit. Small MP3 player for taking your music and recorded affirmations anywhere. A sheet of paper with written affirmations. A definitive body movement, such as finger snapping. Alpha trait number 2. A strong physical presence. High-status men have different body language from that of the typical male. Every man, whether alpha or beta, gives off clear non-verbal indicators to women of their rank and their level of attractiveness. Let's first look at how most guys carry themselves, and then we'll focus on how to display the body language of a powerful male in order to increase attraction and interest from women. Low-status body language. Most guys fidget. They're nervous, and it shows. Their weight shifts from leg to leg. When they're out at a bar, they hold their drinks up close to their chest and frequently take sips. They don't take up much physical space, literally. And that's when they're by themselves. When they talk to women and other men, it gets worse. They're afraid to touch, gesture, or show much expression, on top of the nervous movements described previously. All of these are non-verbal signs of low status. High-status body language. In order to stand out from 99% of guys out there and establish yourself as a confident and powerful man, follow these guidelines. Legs. Stand with your feet slightly wider apart than is natural. It will feel strange at first, but you'll also feel completely rooted, like a tree. This will stop you from changing position or shifting your weight. Arms. Most people I train have a problem with fidgeting. They move their hands around, play with their cuffs or watch, touch their face, put their hands in their pockets and out again, and just can't stay still. This is a sign of insecurity, and women will pick up on it immediately. Here's a trick to get over this. Put your thumb against your index and middle fingers and let your hands fall to your sides. This removes the natural tendencies for the fingers to find something to do. You can stay in this position comfortably for hours without moving. Eyes. Don't look down. It conveys weakness. Be confident. Hold eye contact with people. But remember, it isn't a staring match. Soft, natural eye contact is what you need. If you need some time to get confident holding eye contact and still feel the need to look away, break eye contact to the side rather than down. Head. Move your head slowly. That conveys high status. Quick head movements make you look nervous. Space. Take up lots of space. Own the room. When sitting, spread yourself out. When standing, have a wide, confident stance or use gestures. When dancing, move around the dance floor a lot and use big arm movements, though be careful not to knock people over. In the past, I always used to get barged out of the way and my toes trodden on. Since I started using alpha body language, people give me more space and this never happens. You'll know you're doing things right when the same happens to you. I cannot overstate the importance of adopting the correct body language. Because so many guys get it wrong, when you fix yours, you'll stand out from the pack in a major way, and women will notice. At first, it might be a little difficult to alter the way you carry yourself. That's perfectly okay. Breaking old habits is a process of first becoming aware of what you're doing wrong, then noticing when you're doing it, stopping it, and eventually replacing this behavior. One of the major benefits of our live PUA training programs is that we can observe students' nonverbal communication and can instantly identify and correct things that most people just wouldn't pick up. Things like nervous tics, awkward mannerisms, all things that are unattractive. Trust me, we've all had them. I used to laugh nervously and touch my face. It took my brutally honest cousin, who was also studying pickup techniques, to point this out. Assignment number one. Practice the alpha stance in your home to see how it looks in the mirror. Next time you're in a bar, observe other people's body language based on the guidelines mentioned previously. See who has good and bad body language. Be very aware of your own and try to switch into alpha body language as often and as fast as possible. Alpha trait number three. The ability and willingness to lead and make decisions. Alpha males make decisions, both for themselves and for the groups that they lead. Whether it's something as trivial as where the group should eat dinner, or something as serious as determining whether one group member needs to be ostracized, the alpha male is the one who makes the decisions. Taking ownership of decisions is something that is not naturally comfortable for most people. There is in many cases a high risk of failure and negative ramifications. Because of this, when you can make decisions for a group, you are in effect stepping up. You are doing the tough job, and because of this, people will respect you. The more people respect you, the more power and authority you will be granted. And the more power you have, the more you can influence and lead. Using the power of certainty. There is a little loophole in human psychology. Whoever is most certain wins. In other words, when multiple people have multiple ideas or viewpoints, the person who believes most certainly that he or she is correct will generally win out and influence others. Those who have relatively little in the way of an opinion will look to the person who is most certain to make decisions for them. Just realizing this one simple fact makes a world of difference. Approach the world with the idea that whoever is most certain wins, and you will find that you get very different results. When it's lunchtime and your friends start grumbling about being hungry, make a decision. Say, "Let's go here," or "Let's go there," with total certainty. Don't ask if this is okay with everyone. Just assume it is, and it will be. Additional tip. If you want to make your statement more persuasive, add the word "because," and then just about any reason, and people will even more readily comply with your suggestion. For example, "Let's go to that diner around the corner because they have the best burgers." Start small. Begin practicing decisiveness and leadership when you and your friends are deciding where to grab lunch. Then, as you get more comfortable and confident with the process, begin stepping up in increasingly more pressure-filled situations. Before long, you will have established yourself as a natural leader in your group and a dominant personality in every interaction you have. Women will take notice, and their attraction to you will increase. Holding your power with beautiful women. Just as you must hold your power with the men around you, you must exercise it when in the presence of women as well. The more beautiful the woman, the more she's used to being given all the status. A deferential male will ask her to make decisions on everything, from whether it's okay to take her phone number and when she's available to meet, to where she would like to go, whether his clothes are okay, and if the food at a proposed restaurant is good. This is actually very unattractive. It's so common for men to give away all their power like this that the rare man who doesn't is prized. The rules for maintaining status when dealing with a woman are simple. 1. Don't ask lots of questions when you're facing a decision together. 2. Don't give her the decision-making power. Only give her the option to accept your choices. Where would you like to eat? Gives her the decision-making power. But "Let's go to the Italian place, yeah?" gives her only the chance to go along with your decision. 3. Don't seek approval. "Is this okay? Is that all right with you? How's my jacket look?" 4. Lead. "I'm hungry. Let's go eat." Or, "I'm thirsty. Let's go get a drink." A perfect example of this high-status behavior is Don Draper, a character in the series Mad Men. If you haven't seen him in action, I highly recommend that you get the DVDs and watch him. Also, it's a great show. Alpha trait number 4. A cool, calm, and collected demeanour in high-pressure situations. If you were to observe a social situation from afar, you would likely notice that one person seemed significantly more comfortable and relaxed than the others. This level of comfort is a non-verbal sign of status and value, and is something that, with a little bit of practice, you can absolutely achieve. There are three types of comfort in particular that you will want to master. The first is quite simple. It is comfort in the environment. Examples: bartenders, DJs, and bouncers are all known to do very well with women. The main reason for this is that they're the most comfortable guys in the place, because they're there every night, and the environment can't faze them. But let's get something clear. Most bartenders are not high-status guys. The other guys in the club could be millionaire businessmen, wearing $10,000 suits and buying bottles of exorbitantly pricey Cristal champagne. Bartenders, on the other hand, earn fairly low wages. It's purely that they look comfortable. There is no other secret to it. How to get comfortable. The pickup environment that most betrays a lack of confidence at first glance is the nightclub. People don't often feel nervous when they're walking down the street or shopping, but in a club, the pressure is so much more intense. This is even more of a problem with high-end venues. What needs to happen in this case is simple desensitization. Pick a club and a day of the week to go there. Go with friends or on your own. Your mission is not to talk to anyone or do any gaming, but purely to become comfortable in the environment. Learn the layout. Start to recognize familiar faces. Have some casual conversations with staff. The key is to get comfortable and start treating the place like your own home. Sit or stand comfortably in a low-energy, chilled-out way, or genuinely enjoy the music, moving around without caring what others think or retreating into your head. Those are the only two effective modes of behavior in the club. Nothing in between will look comfortable. If you're trying to look like you enjoy the music by tapping a foot out of rhythm or nodding your head because you think you should, you won't look right. Refer to the body language discussion earlier in this chapter for a fuller description. When you first enter a nightclub with the mission to become comfortable, be very observant. Notice the guys who look comfortable and the ones who don't. Try to see things from the woman's point of view. By removing the pressure of needing to pick up or talk to women, you can start to enjoy the environment and create positive associations with it, rather than viewing it as a high-pressure place where you must game. The second kind of comfort is comfort in interacting with beautiful women. So, she's seen you and judged you as confident from a distance. As long as you don't make any mistakes with eye contact, breaking it downward or generally being uncomfortable with it, you'll be fine all the way up to the actual approach. But how does a woman decide if you're a confident man when you're actually talking to her? The next stage, then, is appearing comfortable in conversation. How could a beautiful girl ever be attracted to a man who isn't confident when interacting with her? Won't this make her feel uncomfortable in herself? Okay, in maybe 2% of cases she may think you're cute, but 2% of cases aren't any kind of game, apart from a numbers game. Examples: guys who own a model agency, work in a strip club, or manage a restaurant with hot waitresses, all have something in common. They get laid. One of the major reasons is that they're desensitized to interacting with beautiful women, and are therefore comfortable around them. Someone who has worked for a model agency for 2 years won't be shaking, sweating, breaking eye contact, or looking generally nervous or uncomfortable if he meets a beautiful woman. She will recognize, consciously or unconsciously, that her beauty doesn't faze him, and this will mean he isn't viewed as a lower life form, unlike the other guys who are obviously very affected by her looks. How to get comfortable. Go to places with a high concentration of very beautiful women, like exclusive department stores and high-end clubs, or visit major cities where stunning women populate the streets, like Los Angeles, Miami, New York, or London, or countries such as Latvia, a small nation in Europe with amazing women everywhere. In these situations, set an achievable goal, which is simply to open and leave. We'll talk more about opening later. Have your opener and your escape line ready, except in a strip club, where an opener isn't necessary, since there the women open you. Desensitize yourself to their looks. Get comfortable holding eye contact. Learn to keep your composure. Through this experience, you will realize that gorgeous women aren't so different or difficult to talk to, and they, for their part, will perceive you as comfortable, which will greatly increase your chances of building attraction. The third and last type of comfort is comfort in your own skin. So you look confident from a distance, though most guys don't. You seem confident when you're talking to her. What does she do then? She tests you out. She challenges you to see how you will react. She might ask you why you're wearing that sweater, if you are a player, or why you don't go to the gym. The test is to see if you are internally confident or comfortable in your own skin. This testing is a good sign, because it starts to happen once she's becoming committed to the interaction and wants to find out if you're the man for her. This kind of testing will continue beyond those initial questions. And to measure up, you will need to display various types of confidence, including physical escalation and sexual confidence. Example: a guy who consistently goes with hot girls and is comfortable with who he is non-reactive and unemotional in the face of tests. To get to this point, you have to put in a bit of work. I have a theory that people become shy because they're worried about exposing their weaknesses to others. They are scared of being perceived as ugly, or having a silly voice, or being poor, or whatever else. So they do little and say less so that they aren't found out. Someone who is content with himself will not be reticent to put himself out there and won't react as much if tested. How to get comfortable. Sit down and write out each of your weak points, the things about yourself that you're not happy with. Next to each, write an action you can take to help it. That action might fix the issue by 100%, or maybe just 20%, but having a plan for improving your situation, even just incrementally, will positively impact your confidence and self-esteem. Earlier in this book, I talked about how I did this, and it was a massive factor in gaining the confidence I now possess. Don't get me wrong, there are still aspects of myself that I'm not entirely satisfied with, but there are much fewer than there used to be. Alpha trait number 5. Social intelligence. High status men have high levels of what is called social intelligence. Social intelligence is a term that encompasses many characteristics, but in general, it describes an understanding and awareness of social dynamics and an ability to navigate them accordingly. Becoming socially savvy. The primary component of social intelligence is the ability to connect and communicate with others. In other words, basic social skills. A socially intelligent man knows how others around him feel at all times. He understands the status hierarchies, the power dynamics, and the difference between cool and uncool. Put simply, he's in the know, and because of this, he comes off well in most any company. In the coming chapters of this book, you will learn the dynamics of social situations and the skills you need to appropriately navigate any environment. When you master those skills, you will be seen as a man of high social intelligence, and this in itself will make you attractive. The ability to walk up to a random group of women and have them fawning over you within seconds is a strong indication of social grace and intelligence. And when you've completed this book, it's an ability you will possess. Recognizing the importance of fashion. In addition to your actual social skills, there is another factor that can be used, and that women in particular do use, to gauge your level of social intelligence, and that is your fashion. Since the beginning of time, fashion has been used to communicate status, and more recently it's become a secret language of coolness. To have good fashion sense is to communicate that you are socially in tune with what's happening. You know what's cool. You know what's not. If you think back to grade school and the kids who were made fun of, there's a good chance that they were dressed in a particularly uncool way. I know this from experience. On the other hand, if you think about the cool kids, they all probably dressed in clothing similar to each other's. And no matter what that style was, it communicated, "Hey, I get it. I'm socially accepted." Now, when it comes to getting your fashion together for the purpose of signaling attractiveness to women, here are my thoughts. First, be brutally honest with yourself. Most guys think that they dress just fine. However, if women aren't complimenting you on how much they like your style, there's a very strong possibility it's not fine. If this sounds like you, it's completely understandable. Outside of the fashion industry magazines, there's almost no good material out there for regular guys who want to dress well. I know, because I used to be one of the worst fashion offenders possible. I used to wear sport clothes, baggy jeans, and clothing that never got compliments. I dressed for myself, not for women. I was comfortable, sure, but my wardrobe was an absolute mess. Once I decided to ditch my cheap sneakers for stylish loafers and traded in my Airwalk hoodie for a suede sport coat, I finally started getting compliments and positive attention from women. After personally transforming my own style and spending hundreds of hours studying the art of coolness when it comes to fashion, along with helping thousands of students trade in their loose-fitting t-shirts for button-downs, I developed the following concise list of rules for dialing in your fashion. How to dress for success. Don't dress generically. If your clothes are so plain that they can't be commented on by a woman, even one trying hard to find something nice to say, then you're generic. If you're wearing drab colors with standard cuts and generally blending into the background, you're not making the most of your personal style. Look around at other men and see how much you can notice about their sense of style. If their jeans have details and funky touches, those are better than standard Levi's. If the sweater or t-shirt has a tailored cut, a slogan, cool detailing, funky colors, or a graphic, it's something outside of the generic, i.e. boring, and reflects your personality in a much better way. Spend money on the right things. An expensive shirt or pair of jeans is wasted if your shoes are ugly. Spend a lot of money on a couple of good pairs of shoes, one black, one brown. You can mix cheap, but well-fitting, jeans and shirts with great shoes, and you'll look like you're wearing an expensive outfit. After nice shoes, the jacket is the second most important thing in winter. Next is the shirt or t-shirt, and last are the jeans or pants. A few great outfits are better than lots of average ones. Match clothes correctly. Blue jeans and brown shoes are better, as in more eye-catching and unique, than blue and black. Don't wear more than three colors in combination. Skinny pants paired with a baggy shirt are just plain wrong. The fits should all match. More than one bold colour probably means a clash. Sports shoes have no place other than the gym, but brand new designer sneakers are okay. Accessorize wisely. Don't over-accessorize for the sake of it. If you naturally have that surfer style, some beads are great. But if you're a businessman, it'll make you look a little strange. Stick to an interesting watch and a nice leather belt. If at all possible, leave your earrings and nose rings at home. Get the best haircut you can afford. If you're not getting comments on your haircut, you could possibly do better. Go to an expensive salon for a free consultation. Find out what would be the best cut for your face shape and hair type, and then get the actual cut done in a cheaper place. And by all means, keep it maintained. My designer haircut actually saves me money. I only cut it every 3 months and use no product. Be well-groomed. Get the dirt out from under your fingernails. Brush your teeth. Shine your leather shoes. Keep cologne and aftershave to a bare minimum. Look like you're successful and comfortable with women. Wear your clothes in the right way. Unbutton your top buttons. Roll your sleeves up. Look around and copy sexy styles. Looking like you're successful with women is something you can't do with generic clothes. Think Colin Farrell, Johnny Depp, and David Beckham. Peacocking gone wrong. Peacocking is the technique of wearing clothes and accessories that attract attention. There's a right way, adopting your own individualistic style, and a wrong way to peacock. Many wannabe ladies' men copy the clothes and accessories of guys who are famously good with women, rock stars who have unique styles, for example. I often see these wannabes around, and they look uncomfortable and forced, like they're wearing something because they think they should wear it. It doesn't suit them. It's not a style that represents their character. These guys will get attention, yes, but subconsciously a woman will find their appearance strange. They look weird and stand out in a bad way. If you must peacock, wear things that you like to wear because you think they work for your personality. Putting it all together. The concepts I've just explained and the steps that I've just outlined are the ones that I personally used to change the way I think, feel, and behave, both in everyday life and around women. I'm confident that if you follow in my footsteps, you will see very similar results. At first, taking on new mannerisms and behavior patterns might seem a bit awkward and clunky. I urge you to keep at it. Keep your focus on constantly improving, one day at a time. Eventually, you will look in the mirror one day and you will be blown away by the person you've become. Do your affirmations. Build positive emotional patterns and states. Work on your body. Practice being assertive and charismatic, and upgrade your fashion. Don't focus on perfection. Just focus on progress. Keep at it, and I promise you, you will be pleasantly surprised by the person you become. And of course, by the new ways in which women start looking at you and treating you. Chapter 3. The Seduction. Now that you know the keys to becoming an attractive male, it's time to master the art of seduction, acquiring the ability to go out any night and take a beautiful woman home, if you so choose. In this section, I offer you the method I have developed, and use to this day, to meet, attract, and sleep with beautiful women. We begin, in this chapter, by establishing an overarching framework for your interactions, a map, if you will, that you can follow from the moment you meet a woman until the moment you are kissing her goodbye the next morning. Then we will dive into the specifics of each step, the exact methods, techniques, and strategies you will be employing to successfully seduce the women you choose. This is the material that separates the guys who get lucky from the guys who get laid. Study this section carefully. Listen through each chapter more than once, and then be prepared to take action. There is no limit to what you can achieve once you do. The characters of seduction. When I first began learning the pickup game, I was literally drowning in information and misinformation about being good with women. One guru would say women want a man who can't be controlled. Another would say women want an emotionally deep man that they can connect with. One purported expert would say the key is to be the super social frat boy kind of guy, while another would say the key is to be a modern-day Don Juan, a smooth, seductive male who cuts through the clutter and romances a girl with poems, roses, and fine wine. The problem for me was that each of these archetypes, when I heard them described, made complete sense. I'd actually seen examples of them in the real world. And I'd seen guys like these have massive amounts of success. But as soon as I'd become convinced that one particular way was the right way, I'd come upon a different style of seduction, also compelling, that seemed to completely contradict the one that came before. Overloaded with information and conflicting models of how seduction worked, I hit the field to test them all out on women so as to discover which approach to the game actually worked. And the result wasn't pretty. Have you ever seen a 5-year-old display artistic genius by mixing every color of the rainbow together and creating a putrid shade of brown? Well, that's what my game looked like. One moment I'd be deeply engaged in a discussion about my life story, and the next moment I'd be acting like an arrogant movie star. Women would just look at me, perplexed that I was changing character so abruptly. Then inevitably they'd kindly, or not so kindly, remove themselves from conversation with me. It really was amazing how many women suddenly had to use the bathroom as soon as I got past the 5-minute mark with them in a club. After repeatedly failing, I came to a realization. There was no single correct character to play in a seduction. No one universally applicable seduction persona that works every time. Instead, I realized different types of game, different ways of behaving during a seduction, were required at different times during the same interaction. The way you behave at the start of the seduction is different from the way you behave 20 minutes in. The way you behave 20 minutes in is different from the way you behave when the club is closing down and you're ready to take the girl home. When I came to this realization, I began experimenting with different sequences of seduction, acting one way first and then a different way after I'd settled into an interaction. Smoothly transitioning from one character to the next in a way that was consistent moved my interactions forward and made sense given the context. After weeks of trial and error, I hit upon the perfect model, one I called the 3 characters of seduction. And when I started using it, wow, my game took off and I never looked back. Now I'd like to give the model to you. There are 3 characters, or personas, that the successful man takes on during a seduction. Each of them serves a different purpose. None of them involves acting. It's just a different way of behaving. We all have the capacity to behave in a wide variety of ways, after all. What the 3 characters model helps you do is structure your behavior so that you're always acting in a way that maximizes your success with women and moves you forward, from the first moment you see a woman you admire to the time you go home with her. You begin with Mr. Sociable, upon the initial approach. After you've gotten in with the girl, you transition to a character I call Mr. Comfort. Finally, you transition to Mr. Seducer when the time is right for you to start leading things toward the bedroom. What follows is a description of each of the personas, along with the behavioral characteristics that define them, and famous movie characters you can use as models. Mr. Sociable. This is the guy who makes a great first impression. Very animated, he has a high energy level and makes people feel comfortable. He's able to win over any group, make them laugh, and generally brighten up their evening. Everyone is glad this person is around because there are no awkward silences. He keeps the conversation going. Someone who is naturally Mr. Comfort and starts an interaction in that role tends to think too much about what he says. He thinks he's being considerate, but the result is off-putting. People relax a lot more when the person they're with is relaxed himself. Mr. Sociable personifies this relaxed attitude because he is very natural and says what comes to mind. Because he is comfortable, people relax around him. On the other hand, although he's very good for the first few minutes, he might find it hard to connect with an individual or to seduce her simply because he is too high energy. After a while, women will become tired of talking to him because he can't be serious or deep. We've all been in situations with someone who constantly cracks jokes. It's good for a few minutes, but quickly becomes tiresome. Use this character for only the first few minutes, until you're into a comfortable two-way conversation and you sense that the woman wants you to stick around. Extroverts will find it easy to step into this role, whereas introverts will find it harder. I knew for a long time that I needed to be more sociable, outgoing, funny, and interesting. But how do you do that? The skills of Mr. Sociable. Be engaging. As long as people are looking at you and listening, they aren't going anywhere, and you'll be able to get past the first minutes and into a conversation. To hold people's attention, you can use a few non-verbal techniques. First, hold eye contact. If it's one girl, keep a good amount of eye contact. If it's a group, spread the eye contact around, directing it especially to any person who seems to be losing interest. Second, use gestures. When you gesture, it catches the eye and is a great way to keep attention focused on you. Third, be expressive. If you have a poker face, people won't feel called to look at you. Fourth, vary the tone of your voice, using pauses and different pacing. Trying to remove ums and ers from your speech will really help your results as well. Be positive. Nobody likes a downer. Although we can often connect with people by talking about negative stuff, people would much prefer to be surrounded by those who make them feel good. Always look for the positive, and if someone starts a negative conversational thread, try to switch it as soon as possible. I'm not talking about being in la-la land. You can be realistic, but if you have the choice of talking about something negative or positive, accentuate the positive. Enjoy yourself. Smile. Take pleasure in the music, the company, the venue, the drinks, the food. We are always drawn toward people who look like they're having fun. Enthusiasm, passion, and happiness are contagious. You will make people want to be part of your life if you look like you're enjoying yourself. One man might be a billionaire with the perfect life, but look bored and uninterested. Another might be average in every external regard, but have a real passion for life. Women will want to be with the second man, because he can make them feel good. Do most of the talking. Ask few questions. Keep the conversation light and situational. To further develop these character traits on your own, here are some additional active steps and exercises. Do something that involves public speaking and being the center of attention. Take a stand-up comedy or acting class, or teach a course as I did when I spent 6 weeks in Seville teaching English as a second language. Try this acting exercise with a friend. One-word improv. The way it works is that you make up a story together, one word at a time. You say a word, I, and then your friend says a word, Will, and you continue like this until you've got a narrative. Go, and, see, my, friends, at, the, beach, and, build, a, sandcastle. Then, when you come to a full stop, you use words like next, afterward, and then to carry it on. If you manage to increase the speed as you get good at this, the skill should translate directly into natural conversation. Examples of Mr. Sociable. Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn as John and Jeremy in Wedding Crashers. Ryan Reynolds as Van in Van Wilder. Mr. Comfort. After you've integrated into a group or made initial contact with a woman, you can bring out Mr. Comfort. When you first approach strangers, they're usually in a wait-and-see mode. It might happen quickly or might take a while, but soon they will open up to you and commit to the interaction. How do you know when this has happened? Non-verbally, they will stop looking at each other or around the room and focus on you and what you're saying. Verbally, they will start to commit more to the conversation, giving longer answers and asking you questions. While Mr. Comfort isn't as outgoing as Mr. Sociable, he's no slouch in the interaction department. Mr. Comfort is interested and interesting. He listens about 50% of the time, doesn't talk too much about himself, and tries to understand women, find common interests, and build rapport. He should stick around until you've established a palpable connection with a girl, at which point he should start to bring in some elements of the next character, Mr. Seducer. Usually, Mr. Comfort can't start conversations very well and isn't very seductive, so it's awkward when he goes in for a kiss. Most introverts will be at home in this mode. The problem is getting stuck in it. 90% of the time, when guys tell me they've been put into the friend zone by a woman, it's due to being Mr. Comfort for too long. Giving off no sexual vibe, no matter how good you are conversationally, means you're of no use to her than her girlfriends or gay best friend. The skills of Mr. Comfort. Listen actively. When others are speaking, don't just stand there waiting to jump in. Look them in the eye, nod your head, and encourage them to continue. Imagine that you've known the person you're speaking to for your entire life. Project the feeling of fondness you have for your oldest and best of friends, and watch as this new acquaintance reciprocates. Humanize yourself. Paint a picture of who you are, where you're from, your history, and what you're all about. Don't brag. Simply open up and allow your conversational partner to see you for who you are. Don't be afraid to poke fun at yourself and talk about the time you embarrassed yourself at your birthday party when you were 8 years old. Imperfection is lovable. Examples of Mr. Comfort. David Schwimmer as Ross in the TV show Friends. John Krasinski as Jim in the TV show The Office. Jason Segel as Peter in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Mr. Seducer. The seducer is the man who is unapologetic about his sexual intention toward a woman. While he doesn't come out and overtly say, "Hey, I want to sleep with you," he does give signals to the woman that he's very interested, in a smooth, almost calculated way. Be it the way he looks at the woman, the way he holds her hand, or the way he uses his voice, Mr. Seducer is the guy who can get the girl into bed. The Mr. Seducer character doesn't just pop out of left field when you need him. Instead, he emerges gradually, the more you find out about a woman. This way, your attraction to her is justified, and, in her eyes, is not based on looks alone. The skills of Mr. Seducer. Don't be afraid to reveal your desire. Look the woman in the eyes in a way that communicates, "I want you tonight." Slow down the rate at which you speak. As you begin to speak more slowly, add pauses. In the way you speak, while still holding solid eye contact, pauses in the middle of sentences are especially powerful. Introduce touching and physicality with more frequency and intimacy. Reduce movement and make sure any body movement, gestures, and touches fit with the slow, smooth, seductive rhythm. Examples of Mr. Seducer. Ryan Philippe as Sebastian in Cruel Intentions. Johnny Depp as John in Don Juan DeMarco. Brad Pitt as Joe in Meet Joe Black. These three characters provide the general framework for what to do when you interact with a woman. It's a map, if you will. What we'll do in the chapters that follow is zoom down to street level and look at the nitty-gritty of how you actually navigate through the seduction each step of the way. We'll learn how to master the skills of each character and how to tie them all together in a step-by-step way, so that when you go out and meet women, success is practically guaranteed. Chapter 4. The Approach. It all begins with the approach. The moment you lay eyes on a woman you want and make your first steps toward her. Most guys fear the approach. They see it as a scary situation where the odds of success are low and the chances of brutal rejection are all too high. And you know what? This is completely justified for guys who have no game plan, no technique, and no strategy for smoothly and confidently getting in the door. After you've listened to the following sections, though, you will. And for you, the approach will no longer be a numbers game. Opening cold versus opening warm. A cold approach is when you initiate a conversation with a girl and are unsure of the response you'll get. She hasn't shown prior interest in you and may not even have noticed you. A warm approach is one where you think the response will be at least somewhat positive, because you've already made eye contact or received some sign of interest, like a smile, a wink, or a quick glance before looking away. Obviously, if all of our approaches could be warm approaches, the results would be a lot more successful and less stressful. But there are ways of having a successful approach, no matter what. Standing out in a positive way. Being Mr. Sociable and talking to people other than the hottest woman will disarm that super hot girl you're really after. She'll see you having fun with people, and by the time you get near her, she'll be a lot more open and receptive to your advances. This is easier than trying to stand out in a club by being super cool and aloof, since many other guys are trying to do the same thing. This approach has the added benefit of loosening you up and giving you a chance to practice your sociability skills. Forcing her interest. Most guys deal with eye contact from a girl in one of three ways. Is one of these your response of choice? Nervously look away. Hold eye contact until she looks away. Force a smile. These are all pretty bad, unfortunately. Even the second one, which may strike you as the right answer since I've been urging good eye contact, isn't effective, because, barring any other response on your part, the held contact will feel forced to her, and she'll look away out of pure discomfort. It's a conundrum, for sure, and it may be a deal-breaker if you don't know how to handle it. If you're wondering why a girl is looking at you, you may use the uncertainty as an excuse not to approach. Maybe she was looking at someone else. Maybe you have a spot on your nose. Maybe she was just daydreaming. In 90% of cases, she is looking at you and would welcome your approach. But there's always the other 10%, and that's enough to discourage most guys from approaching. How many missed opportunities have you suffered over the years? Potential girlfriends, girls that would have loved to sleep with you, and maybe even that special one. I can make sure you never miss an opportunity like that ever again.